Thank you so much. Our singing Zion, Sister Gia. What a powerful message and song. That people need the Lord. We may need a number of things in our lives. We need light, we need water, we need food. We need a job, we need a car, we need a house. And all of those things have their places. But most importantly tonight, what all of us need is that we need the Lord. What do you say? Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. It is a privilege and a pleasure once more for us to be here again tonight, here at the Shine the Light Gospel Series. We have been blessed for the past 2.5 weeks. We are in our third week, and each night that we came out, God has showed up in a very marked way in this place. He has not disappointed us, not once. Those of us who sing and those of us who pray and the evangelist that speaks, all of us, we are just instruments in the hand of the Lord. What do you say? This is God's meetings. It is His word, and we are just His instruments. He is using us to proclaim the everlasting gospel. It is a privilege, a unique opportunity for mortal man to proclaim the life-giving word. When we understand that concept, it is nothing short of a miracle that God could use someone like me and someone like the preacher to present His word. Because the Bible said His words are truth and life. It's the word that gives us life, because the word tells us about Jesus. And so it is just a privilege to be a co-laborer with God. I trust that you have been inspired by the meetings. I trust that you have been, not enjoying, but you have been motivated by the meetings. I trust that the meetings have caused you to develop a newfound faith and to draw you closer and closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but every time I preach the word, even though I may be preaching on a text and I may have read it before, every time I look at it, the Holy Spirit reveals something different. The Bible is like a well. It's like a well. Even though it's always there, every time you go to the well, you expect to get water. Am I right? And if the well is any good, you always get water. And so every time we open the Bible, we expect to get something new. It's like a spring of water every time. And so for the last 2.5 weeks, we have been here. Listen, you can't exhaust the Bible, you know. You can never exhaust the Bible. You could read it over and over and over and over again, and the Holy Spirit just comes and gives you new insights. Tonight, if you're visiting with us and if you're here for the very first time, I want to extend a special welcome to you. I trust that the Lord is good to you. And as we have been here for the last 2 weeks, we declare the word of the Lord. And so tonight you have your Bibles with you. You have your Bibles with you tonight. I trust that you have your Bibles. We need everyone to have their Bibles tonight. As a matter of fact, every night, because we preach none other than the word of God. We don't preach human philosophies or human fables or ideologies, but we preach the word of the Lord. And what we want to look at tonight, our text is 2 Corinthians. Corinthians is one of the epistles of Paul, right there in the New Testament. And we're looking at the second one, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we are looking at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. While you find it, I just want a special welcome to all of the men who are visiting with us tonight. There's so many of you in the host. Let's give a hearty amen to all the men who are visiting with us tonight. Amen, amen, amen. And of course, all the ladies too, all the ladies too. Amen, amen. 2 Corinthians, which chapter did I say tonight? And which verse? Let's read it aloud tonight that all of us can hear it. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. NewExperience.com. NewExperience.com. How to make a new start. Father, tonight, as we open your word, I ask and I pray that you would take charge, take control, take over your message tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit will take mortal words of clay, that you will wrap them up in the power of your Holy Ghost. As we open our hearts, open our minds to receive your word, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, time moves by so quickly. Just the other day, it seemed as if we began the year. And in another week or so, we will just be a few weeks again from the ending of this year. And just as the years go by quickly, the years and the days, the generations go by quickly. You know, every generation is known for something. And for the last, since the 1900s, the sociologists have classified the generations. So in the 1900s to the 1924s, they talk about the GI generation. Why they call it the GI, that's the generation that started the First World War. And then they talk about 1925 to 1945, they call that the silent generation. They say that's silent because most of the people from that generation has died out. And then they talk about the 1946 to the 1964, they talk about the baby boom generation. They say that's the baby boom generation because after the World War II, when the men came back from home, they just made babies. So they call it the baby boom. Right after the war, it was time to populate the earth again. So if you were born in that generation, they say you are a baby boomer. And then right after that, 1965 to the late 1700s, they say that's the generation X. I don't know why they call it X, but X means unknown. So they say that's that generation, according to the people at that time, a number of things are happening. And they said, you know what? Just call them unknown, Generation X. And then between the 1980s and the 2000s, this was the dawn of a new millennium. And so they call it the millennial or the Generation Y. XY. One was X, one was Y. And then after that, 2000 to the present, they call it the new silent generation or the Generation Z or Z. If you want to call it that way. I don't know which way you pronounce it, X, Z, or Z, what, or Z. But what this is saying is that for those in that generation, Z, and we don't know, so I don't know if they'll go back to the alphabet, because Z is the last letter in the alphabet. But every generation is known by something. And it seems to me that in this generation, things are always progressing. You buy something today, and tomorrow it is outdated. You buy a cell phone today, and next year, that cell phone is outdated. You buy a car, that's outdated. So things are, people make new stuff. It seems that we're just inventing new stuff every day. They say this is a generation of the computer. So someone said www.com, the World Wide Web. But I said this is a weird, wired world. Everything is connected to wires, and now it's even wireless. This is a generation when the communication got faster and more efficient. And I said, if you're not up to date with this generation, then you're left behind. This is a generation where 23-year-olds can make millions of dollars just by going on the computer and coming up with a network called Facebook. 23-year-old became a millionaire because he came up with the idea of Facebook. And just the other day, they celebrated 1 billion users. YouTube and Mozilla Firefox. 22 young men, 22 years old, make $120 million. So this is an age of the computer, the internet. This is an age of the millionaires are younger and younger. This is an age of Facebook and Twitter and MySpace and all the other social networks. This is a generation of social clubs and sign up for memberships. But tonight, what's more important than technology and gadgets and computers and the internet is the person. And people hide behind Facebook and hide behind the internet. But whatever we hide behind, people need the Lord. You see, it's nothing new to hide behind stuff, you know. Adam and Eve tried to hide behind the fig leaves. And they tried to hide behind the trees in the garden. But Adam and Eve needed the Lord, and it's no different today. It does not matter which generation you belong to. People need the Lord. New experience. You see, people are looking for new experience. And all of these things that we have in our generation is just a superficial camouflage. It's just an outward sign, but inside us, we need the Lord. People are looking for something meaningful in life. They're looking for a new start. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23, the Bible asks us the question. Jeremiah asks us the question in Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Jeremiah asks us, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Jeremiah asks, can we change our innate nature? Maybe you can cover yourself up like Adam and Eve tried to. But deep down inside us, we cannot change our nature. They tell me that you could take a pig and clean him up and dress him up and put him in your nice air-conditioned, wall-to-wall, nice room. But if the pig could find mud and water, the pig will go in the mud and water. Why? Because it cannot change the nature of a pig. The Bible says, can the leopard change his spots? You see, the spots on a leopard like dark rosettes. And they help the leopard to blend into the environment. They're like the human fingerprints. And every individual's leopard spot is different from the other. They are unique. You can't change that. People try to change their name. No matter how much you want to call him World Man of Peace, he would still be Ron Artest. The Hollywood stars change their name. The hip-hop artists, they don't like the names their mother gave them, so they changed their name to the stage name. People do all sorts of things to get a new identity, change the name, even change the way they look. I wish I could change my name. Because every time I go for my police record, I have problems. Say, too many of us have the same name. And some of us are in problems. And so I have to go through this long process every time. But I'm just satisfied with the name that God gave me. And I'm going to wait until Jesus gives me a brand new name that nobody knows. People try to change where they live. So we move from a small ghetto to a bigger ghetto. You see, you could change where you live. But unless you change your nature, the same person that lived there is the same person that will live over here. So you're just moving up. But still the same human being. People change their husbands or their wives. And sadly, are people today change them like they change clothes. A Hollywood star just got married 2 weeks ago. And 2 weeks later, she has filed for divorce. People are looking and searching, and they're just changing around their lives, trying to find a meaning in life. There was a man in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. There was a man in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Let's go in our Bibles there tonight. 2 Kings. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says there was a man, a very powerful man. And let's look at it tonight. The Bible says, now Naaman, captain of the house of the king of Syria, was what? A great man. He was what? A great man with his master, an honorable man. Because of him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. A great man. An honorable man. A mighty man. But the Bible says he had leprosy. The Bible says, but he was a leper. He was a great man. He was a powerful man in his country, in his community. But the Bible says he had a condition called leprosy. And Naaman longed for a change. He would have done anything to get a new start. The Bible says, one day, a little girl came to Naaman and said, Master, I noticed that you have been struggling. You're trying to find out. You're trying to get a change. But I know somebody who knows somebody else who can tell you what to do. Naaman, a little girl had to tell Naaman that she knows somebody, and that somebody knows somebody else who could tell Naaman what to do. Now Naaman said, okay, bring him to me. And Naaman got his servants and got all sorts of gifts. And when the man of God came, he didn't even look at Naaman. Just in word, say, tell Naaman, go wash in the river Jordan 7 times. And Naaman got vexed. He said, listen, man, I'm a mighty man. I'm a powerful man. I said, the man of God didn't even come out to see me. I thought he would have just come and wave some magic wand or just do something. But he told me to go wash in the river Jordan. And he said, there are better river in Far Far. Why Jordan? But see, Naaman had to understand that he could not change himself. He could not save himself. It was an act of faith. And there was no healing or cleansing in the water. It was simply an act of faith in obeying God when God told him to go into the River Jordan 7 times. We can do nothing of our own to change ourselves. It is an act of faith in Jesus Christ. Can someone say amen in the house tonight? Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. The Bible says, in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 tonight, says all, how much? All. Not some, But all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. Have you ever done some cleaning and tried to clean with a dirty rag? Just spreading the dirt. Everything is like filthy rags. Our human nature, you see our birth. I went to say it was the beginning of life. But I have to change that because life don't begin with birth. And let me say that again. And that's where we go wrong, you see. Life begins at conception. When the egg and the sperm meet together and something happens, life begins. 9 months later, it's just a manifestation through the birth process. And that's what the nation is grappling with now. But the Bible says, listen, Job 14 verse 1 says this, man that is born of a woman is of a few days. The Bible says man that is born of a woman. Not man born of a man. Because scientists are trying to experiment with men giving birth. Did you know that tonight? But the Bible is specific. It says man that is born, God designed it that the woman give birth. That's how God designed it. Now, if you have a problem with that, ask God. God designed it like that. And then Psalms 51 verse 5 says, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Listen, whatever family you were born into today, the Bible said because of Adam's sin and coming down the line, all of us were born in sin. And none of us was born any better than the rest of us. Let me say that tonight. Because sometimes Satan will have us to believe that because of who I was born to or where I was born or how I was born, I am better than you and you are better than me. But all of us, we were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. That's what the Bible says tonight. So all of us are born on equal ground. Just that some of us, because we have parents who earn get a little more and this and that and all the rest of stuff, you know. But all of us are born sinners and we need the Lord. Can someone say amen and those tonight? Listen, everyone born into this world need the Lord. As cute as that little baby is. When babies are born, oh, he's so cute. I had the privilege and pleasure of being with my wife 3 times. And all of them came out cute. All of my children looking nice, and the girls look pretty, and the boy look handsome. But guess what? All of us, when we are born, the minute we are born, we need the Lord. We need the Lord. So the Bible says in John's Gospel, chapter 3, there was another man. John's Gospel, chapter 3. There was another man called Nicodemus. The Bible says he was a man of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were people who knew the law. They were religious people. The Bible said his name was Nicodemus. The Bible even gives him a name. When the Bible gives you a name, it means that, according to the writer, it means that you were saying something in society. It identifies him and says he was a ruler of the Jews. But the Bible says he was a big thing in society. He was of the religious order of the Pharisees. His name meant something. When you mentioned Nicodemus, everyone knew who Nicodemus was. And the Bible says the same came to Jesus by night. He didn't want anyone to see him coming to Jesus. He wanted to come to Jesus in secret. Whatever he wanted Jesus to do for him, he wanted Jesus to do it secretly. But my God is not a God of secrets. God wants us to come to him in public. God died for us in public, and he wants us to come to him in public. He had a reputation to guide and a position to protect. Listen, when you come to Christ, and that's why the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and that they may glorify your Father. Our God does not deal in darkness. Our God is the God of light. The Bible says he dwells in light unapproachable. Satan deals in darkness. When we come to God, our God says, even if they know that you come to me, listen, if they know, that's well, because I will cause you to be a spectacle to them. I will cause you to be a light to them. But Nicodemus didn't want the people to know that he was associated with Christ. So he came to him by night. And the Bible says, the moment he came to Jesus, he said, I know. Verse 2, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, but no man can do those miracles except God be with him. He tried to compliment Jesus. But like I said the other night, Jesus doesn't need any complimentation. Jesus knows who he was. You know, when you want someone to do something for you, you have to sweeten them up first. Human nature. You go to them and you butter them up and you sweeten them up. Listen, Jesus don't need that. Jesus know who he was. Jesus was more than a teacher sent from God. Jesus was the very Son of God. Somebody ought to say amen tonight. So Jesus does not even follow Nicodemus down that road. Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, see when Jesus speaks, he echoes. Verily, verily, in case you missed it once, he said, verily, verily. When he was on the cross, he said, Mary, Mary. And Jesus, he made sure that Nicodemus said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, of the truth of the truth. Twice. No mistaking about it. He says, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus witnessed many miracles. Nicodemus was one of these people, and Jesus said, listen, you're worrying about the miracles? Let me tell you something. You must be born again. And tonight, Jesus is saying to us tonight that we must be born again. You can be born to the royal family. You still got to be born again. You can be born with white spoon, silver spoon, gold spoon, yellow spoon, red spoon, whatever kind of spoon you're born with, you still got to be born again. You could be born on the tracks, across the tracks, but you still got to be born again. You could be born uptown, downtown, around town, wherever you're born, you still got to be born again. The Bible says, man that is born of a woman must be born of the Spirit of the living God. Can someone say amen in the house tonight? Amen. So Nicodemus, Jesus tell Nicodemus, I don't know what you're up to, but I know what's in mind. You see, the Bible says, when you look at John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 25, you see, John, even before Nicodemus says, John said, listen, Jesus did not need that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And because Jesus knew what was already in us, he said the only solution to that is that you got to be born again. No human philosophy is going to change that. No theological debate is going to change that. No degree is going to change that. Some people think that because they got this and they got that, because they got listen, whether you have a primary school education or high school education or university education, whatever kind of education you got, you still got to be born again. I always say you can have all the degrees behind your name, more degrees than a thermometer, but you still got to be born again. And I got one degree. And I want to get another one, but that doesn't change the fact. The money degrees that you have or do not have still says you got to be born again. Came to Jesus by night. You see, for the Jews, John's Gospel chapter 8 verse 33. John's Gospel chapter 8 verse 33. The Bible says, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" For the Jews, according to their thinking, they were already set apart. You see, for the Jews, according to their custom and thinking, once they were born, according to Abraham's seed, as far as they were concerned, they already had salvation. So for the Jew and for Abraham, it was inconceivable for Jesus to tell them that you must be born again because that will make you free. Because they thought that once they were born into Abraham's race, they had it made. Some think today that because they were born into a certain family, born into a certain race, born into a certain country, born into a certain church, it's automatic, they got it made, but it doesn't matter where you were born. What matters is that you're born again. Told Nicodemus, you must be born of two things, the water and the spirit. Being born of the water is baptism by water. Being born of the Holy Spirit, baptism by the Holy Spirit. And the Pharisees rejected baptism. Luke 7, verse 29 to 30. How to make a new start tonight. We're getting down to the prime time of the message now. Luke 7, 29 and 30. Let's read it in our Bibles tonight. Luke 7, which chapter did I say? Verses 29 and 30. The Bible says, "All the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John." But who? And who was Nicodemus? The Bible says Nicodemus was a Pharisee. But the Pharisee and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. See, John the Baptist linked repentance to baptism. And for the Jews of Abraham's seed, repentance only applied to those who were outside of Abraham's race. And so they said that they needed not to be baptized. But Jesus said, "Nicodemus, you must be born of the water, that's the visible. And born of the spirit, that's the invisible. And both of them are necessary." That's what you call the new birth. The spirit invisible, that's something in you that no one, the Holy Spirit just works inside of you. And when the Holy Spirit works inside of you, then it manifests itself on the outside and you have a public example. Nicodemus had to understand, listen, God doesn't want us to come to him in secret. That's why baptism is a public. You see, Jesus was baptized. Who was baptized? Let's look at Matthew's Gospel chapter 3. Matthew's Gospel chapter 3. The Bible says, right after Jesus was just before he began his ministry. The Bible says in verse 1, in those days, Matthew's Gospel chapter 3, came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of well, and saying, repent for what? The kingdom of what? Heaven is at hand. And then when you go to verse 13, the Bible says, verse 13, then cometh Jesus from where? Galilee to where? Jordan unto John to what? To do what? But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized, what? Of thee, and you comest thou to me? And Jesus said what? Let's read that together. Jesus said what? Suffer it to be so, for now it becometh us to do what? It becometh us to do what? Fulfill all righteousness. Jesus got baptized, the Bible says, in order to fulfill all righteousness. He didn't need to get baptized. He knew no sin. But he did it to fulfill all righteousness. He didn't need to rest on the Sabbath because he never slumbers nor sleeps. But he did it as an example for us. He did it to fulfill all righteousness. So that when the dying thief on the cross, on his dying bed, on his dying cross, when he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, Christ fulfilled all righteousness in him, because the thief could not come down and be baptized. So the Bible says, Jesus said, baptize me. So that I can fulfill all righteousness and I could be an example to those who want to follow me. And Jesus allowed John to baptize him. And the Bible says Jesus was in the river Jordan. Look at it now. Verse 16. And Jesus, Matthew's Gospel chapter 3 verse 16. And Jesus, when he was what? Baptized, went up what? Straightway what? Out of the water, he did what? Let's read that again tonight. The Bible says, and Jesus, who was baptized? Jesus. Who was baptized? Jesus. Who was baptized tonight? Jesus. When he was baptized, what happened? He went up, or he came up where? Out of the water. Did you miss that tonight? The Bible says when he went down into the river Jordan and he came up out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open. Notice John did not sprinkle Jesus. John did not sprinkle Jesus. The Bible says John took Jesus in the river Jordan, and Jesus and John went into the water and they came up out of the water. And a voice, when Jesus got up, cried out, verse 17, this is my beloved son. God is in complete agreement with the baptism of Jesus and Jesus's way of baptism. So if Jesus was baptized like that, and God says, I agree with that, that sells that for me. I don't need to check for any other way. Matthew's Gospel chapter 28 verse 19. When Jesus left this earth, he told his disciples, say go, say all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Matthew's Gospel chapter 28 verse 19. Matthew's Gospel chapter 28 verse 19. What does your Bible say tonight? Go therefore and do what? Teach all nations. What else? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have what? And lo, I am with you always. The Bible says when Jesus was about to leave, he said to his disciples, listen, I want you to go. I want you to teach. I said, that's what we've been doing at these meetings. Teach. Teach. I want you to baptize. Then I want you to teach again, teaching them to observe what?
How many things? All things. And so that's why we do not shun the word of God tonight. We teach the people the Bible and the word of God. And if Jesus did it, keep on teaching. The word baptized means, comes from the word baptismo. And it has to do it talks about immerse, but it comes from the language of the cotton textile industry. You see, the priest wore blue, and the cotton was white. And what they had to do with the white cotton, they had to take the white cotton and put it in blue dye. And they had to immerse it. They had to put it down in the dye. They had to let it go down into the dye and let the dye get all over it. And then they bring it back up. And when they bring it back up, the white cotton that went down into the dye came up blue cotton. They didn't do like the Androsian. You see, when you put the Androsian fabric in the dye, you tie up some bit. And when you put it there, not everything is covered in the dye. So when it comes up, you have some white lines and all sorts. But when this dye, everything came up blue. And they use wooden paddles to push it down in the water so that every inch of the fabric is covered. That's where the word baptism comes from. To immerse in the liquid or the water until it's completely covered, and then you bring it back up. So baptize means to plunge, to go under, to immerse. So you can't baptize by sprinkling. See, when you're baptized into the truth. You're baptized into Christ. You're baptized into his church. And when you're baptized into Christ first, and then you're baptized into his church. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. What does the Bible say tonight? Galatians chapter 3. Verse 27. The Bible says what? For as many of you who are being baptized into who? Into who? Have put on who? So when you're baptized, you are immersed and covered up and wrapped up and tangled up with Jesus. The Bible says you are baptized into Christ. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. You can look, go there with me tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether free or born. What this is saying, and if you go down to verse 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. You will discover that this body that Paul is talking about is really the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. But now are there many members, yet what? One body. So the church is like the body. And we are baptized into Christ, and we are baptized into his church. And I'm so glad that God's church is not a social club. You see, with a social club, you have to do some things to become a member. Sometimes you have to pay a fee. And in a social club, you're only allowed into membership if you are part of that social standing. So some clubs, some of us can't get into. You ain't get enough money. Probably ain't get enough color. Or the wrong color. Or we can't play this sort of ball. So they have restrictions based on their characteristics. But anyone who accepts Christ and you are baptized into his body. And his body, whether you are Jew or Gentile, male or female, the Bible says God's church accepts whosoever will. Can someone say amen in the house tonight? On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the gospel, Acts chapter 2, verse 44, verse 41, the Bible says, and they that gladly received the word were baptized, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and the same day they were added unto them, the them is the church, about 3,000 souls, and the Bible says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the doctrines of the apostles. And then you go down to verse 47. The Bible says they were praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we are baptized. So you may wonder, how do we get sprinkling into the church? How do some have sprinkling and some have... And when you look at our history, you know, people baptize all sorts of ways. I had a document that said they baptize you with rose petals from the flower, sprinkling. They baptize you in snow, all sorts of things. But the Bible says in Ephesians that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. What does it say is that there's one method of baptism, and that's the Jesus way. When we are baptized, the Bible says, we go down into the watery grave like Christ died and went down, and we come up and we rise to walk in newness of life. And we are a new creature. But the idea of sprinkling came into the church. It was because of pride. You see, the priesthood at that time, they began wearing these fabulous robes. These robes that look like they were kings. And they didn't want to go into the water. So they came up with the idea of sprinkling. And that's how that started. And it came into the church. And they taught the people. The people were deceived. And listen, when you're baptized, you have to know what you're doing. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized. So we believe that our infants, our babies, that's why we don't baptize babies. Because a baby needs to understand and know. Well, you say, well, God will take care of the baby. I serve a good God. What do you say? But this idea about sprinkling babies and baptism for the dead and all, that's a man-made tradition that crept into the church. But Jesus, long time ago, he said, listen, he that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? Yeah, remember the Ethiopian eunuch? The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and 38, the Bible says the Ethiopian eunuch was going back to Ethiopia and Philip, the evangelist, opened the word of God to him. And just then they came across a river of water. Verse 36. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me? And the question I'm asking tonight is, here is water. What doth hinder us from being baptized? What is it tonight? And the Bible says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, verse 37 and 38. And they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Therefore, Romans 6, verse 4, we are buried with him, that's Christ, by baptism into his death. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so shall we rise to walk in newness of life. So tonight there are three times that you should be baptized. One, if you've never been baptized before like Christ was, and you are that age where you can decide for yourself, it's important tonight that we follow the example of Jesus. Or if you were baptized by any other way than by biblical immersion, then you ought to follow the example of Christ. And if you were baptized over time and you have been taught new truths in the Bible, the Bible says in Acts chapter 19, Paul, if you go with me there, our final text for tonight, in Paul, Acts chapter 19, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 19, Paul was passing through the coast of Ephesus. And verse 1, came to certain disciples. And verse 2, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you were baptized? And they said unto him, verse 2, are you there with me tonight? We have not so much heard as to whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. And when they heard these things, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were baptized before, and when Paul taught them about the Holy Ghost and taught them about Jesus, the Bible says they were baptized again. You see, when the text says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, it means there's one method of baptism. So tonight Jesus was baptized. He was baptized in the River Jordan. He said that he didn't need to be baptized, but he said, suffer it to be so. And tonight as we sing this song, I want to extend this appeal tonight. We don't have water here tonight, unfortunately. But we are planning a big baptism right here on Sabbath morning. A big baptism. And tonight, through the Holy Spirit, God is speaking to someone and saying that you are to step out in faith and be baptized like Jesus. I will follow thee, my Savior. And I invite us as we sing this song. First, I invite us all to stand wherever we are by God's grace. Let's stand to our feet. I will follow thee, my Savior.
I will follow thee, my Savior.
Thou hast shed thy blood for me. As we stand, the appeal is simple tonight. As the Holy Spirit still works with us, tonight, God is asking and inviting someone to step out and say, as we sing softly. As we sing softly tonight, God is asking and inviting someone to follow their Lord and Savior tonight and say, Jesus Christ is baptized. I accept him as my Lord and Savior, and I want to follow him in baptism tonight. If that's your desire, I want you to come to the altar tonight. When I ask one or two of the elders to come to the front, as we receive those who want to be baptized the Jesus way, is there someone here tonight who wants to follow their Lord and Savior and be baptized? The doors of mercy are open tonight. Is there someone here tonight? The Ethiopian eunuch told Philip, here is water. What will hinder you tonight from making that decision for Christ. Is there one person here tonight? Is there one person tonight who wants to follow their Lord and Savior tonight and be baptized? Why don't you come to the altar tonight? Why don't you come to the altar tonight? Is there one person tonight? Be planning for a baptism on Sabbath morning. Is there one person tonight? Is there one person tonight? The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. I will follow. Thou hast shed. Is there someone else here tonight? Is there someone else here tonight who want to make that decision for the Lord? Is there someone else here tonight? Is there someone else here tonight? Let's sing that chorus one more time. I will follow. Thou hast shed thy blood for me. And the old man.
And the old man should forsake.
By thy grace.
By thy grace. I'll follow.
Your heads are bowed. Your heads are bowed as musician plays softly. Is there one more person here tonight who wants to follow their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the watery grave of baptism? All to Jesus, I surrender. Just as I am without one plea. Is there one more person tonight who's saying, I'm willing to follow Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior tonight? Whatever the situation that you are faced with tonight, God is able to take care of it. If you come to Him in faith, He's able to take care of it tonight. There's no other way other than through Jesus Christ to make a new start in your life. Why don't you give God a chance tonight while the doors of mercy are still open on the hinges of grace? Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Father, tonight, your word is powerful.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is mighty to save. The Holy Spirit is still lingering and pleading. Tonight, Heavenly Father, as we stand at the conclusion of this message, we thank you for Jesus Christ. He didn't need to, but he did. And tonight we thank you for these persons who have come to the altar and are saying that they want to follow their Lord and Savior, even into baptism. I ask and I pray that Satan, who is a defeated foe, that he will not get or gain a foothold in their lives tonight. I pray that you, through your Holy Ghost, that you will seal that decision in their minds. I pray that Satan will get thee from behind them. I pray that Jesus Christ will be seen, felt, and heard. I thank you for grace and more grace. I thank you for your mercy. Father, there may be someone else here tonight. I ask that through your Holy Spirit, our sweet comforter, our divine Holy Spirit, that you will allow them to understand that now is the acceptable day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Father, tonight, I just thank you that your word is powerful. Thank you. We praise you. And we look forward to Sabbath morning. When, like Christ went into the River Jordan, our persons will walk into the waters and bury their past and arise to walk in newness of life and be covered and become a part of your body. Thank you. Keep us until then. And we say in benediction, until Friday night, we say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Peace in your homes. Peace in your families. Peace on your job. Peace at your schools. Peace even in the church. But most importantly, may he give you peace in your hearts. And until Friday evening at 7:15 and then Sabbath morning at 9:15 and 10:30, we say, may the good Lord keep you in the hollow of his hands. Good night. God bless you.